Acts chapter 1. Today, around the world, people celebrate, churches celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost is when the event we celebrate is when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost really is an Old Testament feast, but on that day, God poured out the Holy Spirit in a wonderful way, and we read all about that in Acts chapter 2. I'm not going to read that today, but thank God for Pentecost. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out and promised to everybody who is here today and everybody who will listen to the CD or on the internet. For everybody. I tell you, he did not come just to be a part of our theology. He came to give us life. He came to add power to our lives. It's hard to live without him. And if you battle depression and that kind of thing, then I suggest you spend some time with the Holy Spirit. Oh, he'll give you life. He'll bring fire into your life. He's got the fire. John the Baptist said, talking about Jesus, he said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Boy, do we need that fire today. I tell you, we have become so intellectual, but it killed us. It took the fire out of the church. Now, in this church, when you come to this church, you're not going to get an intellectual dissertation on a Sunday morning. Because I'm not aiming at your head. I'm aiming at your heart. I'm not here to feed your intellect. I'm trying to get the Word of God right into your heart. Because that's where the changes begin. And you can have your head pumped up with as much knowledge as you can get in there. It won't change your life. But you have one touch by the Holy Spirit, your whole life will be different. You'll be a different person altogether. And that's what we're after. Praise God. Jesus came to give us life, and that more abundantly. And we're not looking for something to do. When he comes into your life, you have a lot to do. And he gives you the power to do it. Amen. You know, he just that turbocharge that kicks in, that enables you to do more than you can do. Well, there's fire in this house today. Let's keep on fanning it. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And this is after Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, we have to remember a few things. After he was raised from the dead, he breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Do you agree with me? Yes. But then he also said, "You go to Jerusalem and you wait there, because even though you received the Holy Spirit, when I breathed on you, there's a promise of the Father that you need to get." There's a promise. Now, far too many Christians are happy with just being breathed on and receiving the Holy Spirit in the new birth, because that's what happened there. They were born again, and they say, "We have the Holy Spirit." Yes, you have the Holy Spirit. But do you have the promise? That's the question. Do you have the promise? That's the question that we need to be looking for. Okay, Acts 1, verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now, let's quickly just have a look at that word baptized. It's a Greek word. The English translation of that word is to be immersed. Now, when you talk about baptism, people get all kinds of ideas in their heads because they link it up to their traditions and their religion. But that word means to be immersed. Now let's read it the English way. For John truly immersed you in water, but you shall be immersed in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Immersed, covered over. That's what it's all about. It's not about the title, I received the Holy Spirit. No, it's to be immersed in Him. It's to be covered over by Him. It is to be taken over by Him, so that He will lead you and guide you and empower you and give you wisdom and make you effective in your life. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, they missed the point. They missed the point. Even though they walked with Him, they saw the power, they heard His wisdom, they saw Him in His resurrection, they still missed the point. What does it take to wake these people up? I guess it's the same thing that it takes to wake us up. I tell you, you know, religion has got such a hold on us. It chokes the life out of the church. Yes. And we need to get that stronghold, that stranglehold away from us. Yes. So that the Holy Spirit can flow freely. Yes. And accomplish His purposes through us. Yes. Amen. And Jesus said, verse 7, and He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. Don't get involved in politics, He says. It's not your business to be involved with the politics of the day. Don't care about that. Don't care about who's ruling the nation. Don't worry about that. You have a different purpose. Don't be too involved with the culture and the politics and the stuff of the world. You have a different purpose. I think it's the same goes for today. Don't be so much, don't worry about too much of that stuff that's being pushed down our throats so much. Let's get on with the kingdom. Let's get on with kingdom business. That's why the Holy Spirit came. That's why He came. Let me tell you, He is not too concerned about who sits in the prime minister's office. He's not too concerned. What He's concerned about is who sits on the throne of your heart. Because that's where the victory is. That's where society changes. When the Holy Spirit is in charge of lives. And His power is present in the church. Not who rules in parliament. He'll change parliament. But change is not coming from parliament. It's coming from your heart and mine. That's how we change this nation. Amen. Verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. It's all about being empowered to be a witness. That's what it's all about. That's why we have the power. Now let's look a little bit at all of this. I believe there's a little bit of a misconception, even in our circles, that the anointing is for our services. I believe that the anointing has a role to play in our services. And without that anointing, it'll be pretty dead. Without that anointing, the Word of God will not go into our hearts. There's a role to play. But we have a role to play on the outside. That's where we need to go. It's on the outside. Now, on the inside of the church, in our meetings and so on, the anointing is there for exhortation, for edification, and for comforting. That is what He will do. When we come on a Sunday morning, I believe the Word of God is there to edify us. And I tell you, when you leave church on a Sunday morning, you must leave edified. You must feel I received something that strengthens me, that satisfies me, that fills that void in me, and I feel satisfied. And I feel built up. When you can come in here, and you may be depressed, and you maybe had a fight on the way here, or maybe you had some things that you worry about, and that's fine. But when you leave, you need to leave feeling, I can turn the world upside down. That's why the Holy Spirit is present in our services, so that we can live edified and built up and ready to be that witness and ready to overcome and ready to meet that challenge and ready to fight that temptation and overcome and win. You come for a ceremony, it's not going to do anything for you. You come for a ritual, it's not going to change you. If you come for any of that kind of stuff, you will leave the way you came. You will leave the way you came. But if you have come to hear a word from God, something will happen on the inside. That word will bring life to you. That word will add wisdom to you. One word from God can change your whole life. And the more we have of it, the better. I'm always at the right time to hear the right thing, because I'm always there. And I tell you what a change it brings. Thank God we're not here to entertain people. We're not here to make you feel good. We are here to bring you the Word of God. And do that with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we can come here and bring you a whole intellectual discourse on the Holy Spirit, and you can leave as dead as you came and even more depressed. But when there's one spark that flies over from His presence, that's all you need. It'll change your entire life. And that is the purpose of the anointing in our services. Now, there's also an anointing for outside the services. And I think that's the part that we've not developed well. What you don't know, you know, the devil can take advantage of. He can rob you there of things that you don't know. And so what we need to know is this, that there is anointing upon you to empower you to be an effective witness outside. Our work is outside the church. Your call in the kingdom of God is the place where you work. Yes. To be a light there in a dark place. There is an anointing that will empower the words that you speak to your colleagues. That will change them. And you need to know that. You need to know that. That He has put an anointing upon you so that when you witness to a colleague or a friend, that God will use those words, simple as they are, and maybe a little too simple in your own eyes, but as they leave your mouth and enter their hearts, there will be anointing upon those words that will hit home and change the lives of people that you talk to. And you will be amazed. You will be amazed. But because we don't feel, you know, we don't feel anointed, and we don't feel the goosebumps when we talk to people, we think there's no anointing. You are wrong. You are wrong. The anointing has nothing to do with feelings. It has to do with truth. And if the Holy Spirit has come upon you, then you have the power to be a witness. And all you need to do is witness. And maybe you won't feel the power, but God knows you'll see it in action in the lives of the people that you're talking to. But because we don't feel anointed, we don't say anything, we don't do anything, and then we're not witnesses. But I think it's time for us to change and catch up with the truth and become the witnesses that God has called us to be and empowered us to be. When you witness hope, when you speak hope to the hopeless, when you bring a word of comfort to the destitute, and you bring some wisdom to the confused, then the Holy Spirit will be present. He is more interested in reaching that person than you are. And He is right there to put power into the words that you speak to do what it has to do. And you will be surprised. You will be surprised. But we need to be the witnesses. And that's why the Holy Spirit came, to empower the church. It's not only for the inside, between our four walls. And it's wonderful to have Him here. And thank God for His presence. We can never go without Him. But He is there where the rubber meets the road. Out there where we talk to people. And you will be surprised at what He can do. Drawing the lost. That's His business. Drawing the lost. Pointing them to Jesus, the Savior. Bringing a revelation to their hearts that there is a better way to live. There's a way out of this problem. There's a way out of this darkness. And He will point them to that way. Bring hope to the hopeless. And there's a large category of people out there that need your encouragement. That's the backslidden. The backslidden. I know firsthand what it is when you're in a backslidden stage and somebody comes and speaks an anointed word to you. I know what it does to you. It brings you back. It brings you back. And there's a lot of them out there. To be honest with you, there are more backslidden people than outside, than people inside the church. They're everywhere around us. They're everywhere around us. You talk with people, they'll tell you, I did go to church when I was a young person, or at some stage I was involved and I did this or that, but they backslidden. Something happened. And all they need is for you to come and speak a word of encouragement to them, a word of exhortation. And they'll be back. There's a hunger on the inside that will bring them back. Once you've tasted this, you can't go without it. You keep on longing for more of Him. And we are there to be that word of hope to them, to bring the good news to them, and there's power to make it possible. The work of the church is outside the church more than it is on the inside. Now let's look at personal. What is the role of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives? Well, Jesus said He'll guide you into all truth. He's a guide. He's a guide. And somehow, when He begins to talk to you and minister to you, if you open your ears to listen to Him, He will always point you to the truth. Thank God He never brings confusion. He always brings truth. And He will always lead you deeper into the truth that sets you free. So that is what He wants to see, that God's people being set free. To live the life of freedom to the glory of God. He's a guide. And He guides us. He brings revelation. How many times have you opened the Bible and started reading and something just opened up before you? And you said, I have read this so often. And suddenly, revelation comes. And it illuminates your whole life. It changes the way you do things. It changes the way you run your relationships and the way you do business because of revelation that came. He brings revelation, which means He takes off the covers so that we can see. Oh, let me tell you, there's a lot of confusion in Christianity. There's a lot of confusion in Christianity. There's a lot of misunderstandings. There's a lot of ignorance. Let me tell you, ignorance is one of the greatest enemies of Christianity. Is people don't know. People don't know, and you meet them everywhere. Christians don't know. They've been Christians for 20 years and 30 years, and they still don't know. And because they don't know, there are some things that they can't believe for because they don't know. And because they don't know, the devil takes advantage of their ignorance and he attacks them and robs them and destroys their lives because of ignorance. And God knows the church will need to wake up. and get some knowledge of the truth. God knows how much we need knowledge of the truth. You know, some of these other religions, you'll see them training up their children at a young age. They're able to recite their scriptures because they have to sit there and study and study and study. And the Christians, and all they know about is fun and games, and they have no knowledge of the truth. And you wonder why we lose our young people. It's because they have no knowledge of the truth. And the church needs to wake up. I'll be honest, just brutally honest with us today. Christians must know the Word of God. Yes. Christians must understand. They must have revelation knowledge. We cannot operate without the revelation knowledge. We need the revelation knowledge of the truth. Academic knowledge, not enough. We need that knowledge that explodes on the inside of our spirit man that changes us. And we need, if we search for it, we'll find it. Because the Holy Spirit will bring it to us. It's His job, it's His call, it's His ministry to bring revelation to the church and to Christians in our personal lives. He gives us wisdom to speak the right thing at the right time. And somebody brings an issue to you, and maybe it is a young person, and you don't know what to say. Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom to speak the right word. It's sad when young people challenge their parents on issues of truth, and the parents don't know what to say. What a sad state of affairs Christianity. Let me tell you, that's when the Holy Spirit is not allowed in. You find yourself in a tough spot and you don't know what to say, but if He is there, you always have the answer. You will always have the answer. I tell you, Jesus walked and they sent their best against Him. The Pharisees and the scribes, people who were learned in the law, to try and question Him and put Him in a corner, they never could. They never could because the Holy Spirit was operating through Him. He always had the answer. And the same Holy Spirit is there to teach you and to lead you and to guide you and give you revelation. Boy, I tell you, God did not design for us to stand there not knowing what to say. No. You know, you look at the Apostle Peter. He was known not for wisdom. He was known for putting his foot in his mouth all the time. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached a sermon that brought 3,000 people in. Amen. He changed. Yes. He knew how to address that crowd. He knew, and he didn't make notes before, and he didn't study and prepare. No, the Holy Spirit just flowed freely through him. And they saw that this was a different man. This was somebody else. This is not the old Peter. This is the new creation filled with the Holy Spirit, a different man. And He'll do the same for you. He'll do the same for you. You were not intended. God never intended for you to stand there not knowing what to say. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have things to say. Praise God. What a joy it is to serve when the Holy Spirit is there to help you. I have known preachers and still do that think the Bible is very thin. Because they struggle to find something to preach on. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit is there, that's the easiest thing in the world. It's the easiest thing in the world. And you can do it day in and day out, and you won't work yourself to death because He's just flowing through you. It's tough when you do the job. It is tough. And you can struggle, and I know what that is. You struggle. And you start on Monday, and by Saturday evening, there's nothing. There's nothing. And then you begin to panic because Sunday morning is not that far away, and I'm going to face some people. But when you have the Holy Spirit helping you, you go to bed and you sleep well because you know it's going to be Him. He is going to do something for somebody. And it's His job, not mine. And all I have to do is be a vessel, and that's all. It's the easiest thing in the world. Praise God. And He'll do the same for you. Don't you think that when you have to witness to a colleague that you won't know what to say? You'll know. You'll know what to say. He'll give it to you. He'll flow through you. That one didn't go well over. But you try it and you'll see. And He is there in our personal lives to give us strength. Because life is tough. And many things do go wrong. Bad things happen to good people. But you can win. Even though things go wrong, you can win. Because He is at your side and He is a winner. And He knows the way out. And God said, with every temptation, I'll give you the exit. And He will show you the way out of it and strengthen you to face those faces. He will strengthen you to answer those questions. He will give you the strength to stand in difficult circumstances. He'll give you the strength. And you might say, well, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And maybe you don't. But He knows. He knows how to get through this. And He will get you through. And He'll strengthen you. So do you look back and wonder how you got through that? And it's Him. It is Him. We had a teacher at Bible school, and he told us a story of how people arranged a meeting and asked him to speak. And so it was in a different town. He didn't know what to expect, and he got there and found that it was a town hall, and the place was packed. And they had advertised that it was going to be a healing meeting, and he didn't know that. And he looked through the curtains from behind and saw the place packed and said, God, I cannot do this. And I've never done it before. He said, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, I can do it and I have done it before. See, that person that you face at work, he knows how to get them. He knows their heart. He knows that He has the key to their heart. He knows the exact thing that you need to tell them, and He'll inspire you to speak just that. All you need to do is be determined to be a witness and speak and be that minister outside where God placed you. You wonder why you have that job? It's because somebody there needs to have your witness, to hear your testimony, to hear what God has done for you. That's why you have that job. You don't like that job? Get God's job done. He'll may move you on. The salt is for outside, where the decay is. And that is where our job is, outside the church. The light, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. The light is not for inside because everybody here is light, supposed to be. It's for outside where the darkness is. And you go and be that light. And He will give you the strength to shine. He will give you that power to shine and to be that witness. For them to notice that your life is different. And so we just need to be that witness that He empowered us to be. Now there's a promise in Acts chapter 2. Let's quickly go there. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. And this is Peter preaching. Acts chapter 2 verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. Change your thinking. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the promise. That's the promise. Jesus said, you go and wait there until you receive the promise of the Father. There's a promise to you. There's a promise to every one of us. And that is that promise to be baptized, to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. And God wants to do that. The church was designed to live in the anointing and to operate in the anointing. The church was designed to operate in His power. Church was not designed to be a cultural institution. Church was not designed to be a human rights organization. Church was not designed to be a welfare organization. Church was not designed to be an intellectual organization. The church was designed for the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is, and without it, we become all those things. But with Him, we become the body of Christ. And we can do what He did. And Jesus said, you'll do what I do. And more. Because the Holy Spirit is coming. You will do more. Yes. And without Him, we revert to just human things. But with Him, it's a powerhouse that God designed to be in the earth. To a place where the power of God is active and present and manifest in the lives of people. There's that promise. Now, the promise is followed by a question. Now, we transferred some money to our pastor in Liberia this week. Some money that our brothers and sisters in Belgium gave us. We've transferred to them. There are certain needs there, and we transferred the money. And I wrote him an email and I said, I've transferred the money. You can go and collect it. Please let me know if you received it. Now, God made a promise. And now the promise is followed by the question, have you received the promise? Have you received that promise? Have you received it? That's the question. Have you received it? Because if you don't, you should. Yes. If you didn't, you must. There's a promise outstanding, and God wants to know, have you received it? Have you received it? Let's go to Acts chapter 19. And verse 1. And I'm so glad, you know, that I know there's deep theology behind it, and we love the deep things, and thank God for that. It's a treasure that we have. But these are very simple things. These are very simple things. It's so simple that it is within reach of everyone. I have found that the power of the gospel is in the simplicity of the gospel. It's not in the difficult, deep parts of it. It's in simplicity. For some reason, we like complicated, deep things. But God made it simple. And I think because it's simple, a lot of people don't like it. But it is simple, and that was God's intention. And let's not make it complicated. It is simple and supposed to be, and let's keep it that way. It's simple. It is as simple as this. God made you a promise, and He made the promise because He wanted you to have it. He wants everybody to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everybody. That's the will of God. Nobody excluded. No matter your religious background, your upbringing, your culture, nothing of that matters. He wants everybody to be filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Everybody is there for everybody. It's there for everybody here today. It's simple. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? The same way you receive Jesus. How do you receive Jesus? By faith. That's all. By faith. By opening up to Him. That's how. Is that all? Yeah, that's all. That's all there is to it. How do you receive Jesus? By faith. You receive Him in your heart by faith. You open up to Him. He comes in. You invite Him, He'll come. He'll come. If you invite Him, He'll come. It's as simple as that. And let's not make it complicated. Don't bring conditions into it. There are no conditions here. There's only one condition. You have to receive the Lord Jesus. Peter said, if you're baptized, then the promise is for you. It's yours. It's as simple as that. Now, I want to tell you that because a lot of people struggle with this. And I struggled too for many, many years. I struggled. And I desperately wanted the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But I was taught wrong. And because of wrong teaching and wrong expectations, I could not receive, man. And I came so close. I came so close. I just could not take it because of wrong teaching. And we had two sisters, bless their hearts. They had the best zeal, but not the best wisdom. And when we were children, we had children's prayer meetings on a Wednesday afternoon, and we were all just dropped off. It's not like today where you ask, do you want to go to the prayer meeting? No, we were just dropped off and picked up afterwards, so they knew we were there. And these two sisters, as I said, had a lot of zeal. And their purpose was for all of us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, things back then were a lot different than they are today. Because we were shaken, and we were manhandled, and we were told to let go, and we were told, I don't know what else we were told, but nothing they told us worked for us. And sometimes we left more frustrated than we were when we got there. And disappointed, you know, they were disappointed and we were disappointed. Nothing happened. There was a lot of shouting going on and shaking and all of that, but nothing happened. And then I found out years after how simple it is to receive the Holy Spirit. It was just too simple. And nothing of what they tried really was required. You receive Him by faith. That's how you do it. You receive Him by faith. That's all you do. Just as you receive Jesus, you receive Him. That's all you have to do. And so let's look at this question. Acts chapter 19. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. Now, the fact that they were disciples means that they were Christians. It means that they were born again, right? It means the Holy Spirit already did a work inside of them. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, a whole bunch of people today will say yes, because you receive the Holy Spirit when you are born again. There's a deposit there. Jesus said in John chapter 3 that if you're not born through water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is involved when you're born again. But that's not all there is. That is not all there is to it. There is more. There's a promise. There's a promise that follows. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." He said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Simple. Simple. Why didn't they receive the Holy Spirit? They didn't know. They didn't know. They never heard of him. They'd never heard of him. They couldn't believe because they didn't know. And the moment they knew, they received. That's why Paul asked them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? It's there for everybody who believes. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. I believe God is looking down on the church today. And there's a desire burning in his heart for the church to be on fire. I believe that he wants to bring that zeal of the Holy Spirit into his people. I believe God's looking at this world in its confusion and darkness and deception. And he says, if the church is on fire, all of that will change. There's enough of us in the world to change the whole world. There's enough of us. If only we'll be on fire. We can change the world. There's enough of us to do that. There's enough of us to do that. If God could do this through 12 uneducated fishermen, then I believe he can do it through the millions of believers today. It can change the world. But we need the Holy Spirit. We need his power. And we need to be willing to witness. This is not just a memo in a theological teaching. This is power from heaven. This is where things change on the ground, is when he is involved. When he came on the day of Pentecost and he filled them, he brought so much joy with him that the people looked on the outside, looked in and thought that they were drunk. Now, isn't it interesting that the most reserved person, who never smiles and never talks and never laughs, never gets out of the box, when he's drunk, he will. He will. And I think that's why we need the Holy Spirit. So God can get you out of your box and do something with you. Some people have to get drunk before they'll actually do what God wants them to do. They'll never do it out of their own and their own strength. And it never was the idea at all. It was so that overflow of joy would speak to people. And especially nowadays when everybody's worried and sad about the money and they have a long face and worry about the retirement and all of that, that an overflow of joy can change a whole bunch of people. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I wonder what it will take to get some of us out of our boxes so that God can use us I think we take ourselves far too seriously. We're far too serious with ourselves. Far too serious. And some people think Christianity is boring. I'll tell you why they think so. Because there's no power. That's why they think so. When the fire of the Holy Ghost comes down on the church, there's joy. There is joy there and a lot of fun. And the world cannot compare with it. And they can't compete with it either. And it's up to us to bring that joy into our homes. And let the joy of the Holy Spirit fill our homes. So that it can touch all those who live with us. And change them from the inside out. Oh boy, I tell you, we don't need stuff to make us happy. We have the Holy Spirit. If your joy is in outside entertainment or the stuff you have, you're lost. You're lost. That's why people get themselves in so much debt. They have to keep on buying things and buying things and buying things and spending money to keep themselves happy. And all you need is the Holy Spirit. You'll have more joy with Him than you can have with all the entertainment in the world. The question is, to us believers today, have you received the Holy Spirit? Because if you haven't, you can. If you haven't, you can. And you know what? He's right here today. He is right here today. And He's wherever you are. He's there. I love it when people get baptized in the Holy Spirit just out there. I love the story of a lady we had in a church in Belgium. When we prayed with her, and she went home, and a few days later she called and said, "While I was washing the dishes, the Holy Spirit came down on me, and I spoke in tongues." Just there on the road. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. And when you're ready, He's ready. All you need to do is receive Him by faith. And after all that wrong teaching that I had through many years and seeing wrong things with good intentions, but they were still wrong, I, one day in my desperation, I just took it by faith. And you know, when you take things by faith, you're going to may have to walk a few steps in the flesh, because you're going to walk the faith walk now. And I just took it by faith, and I stood there, and I was so desperate, and I just started speaking in tongues on my own in the flesh. I had to prove my hunger to God. I had to show Him how hungry I was. And while I was doing that for a few minutes, suddenly He came. Boy, it was a surge of power that suddenly took hold of me. And while I was just softly whispering and stumbling along, suddenly the floodgates opened up. And He just burst out of me. And power came. And confidence came. And now I wasn't stumbling and whispering anymore. Oh, I put some volume behind it because it came. As simple as that. As simple as that. You don't need anything else. It's simple. It's simple. And it can be yours today. And God can change you from the inside out. And I know, you know, the Lord told us to lay hands, and Paul laid hands on the people, and we ought to do that. I understand it. But you know what? When I have more joy and more fun is when people just take it. They just take it. When nobody lays hands on them, they just connect with the Holy Spirit and He comes. That is such a great testimony and a blessing. But you can have it today. That power can be yours today. And did it change my life? Oh, I'm telling you, that changed my life. I remember because in our day, when we were youth, the fire was on the youth, not on the older people. It probably sounds alien to you today, but that's the way it was. And we had a small youth group in our church, and Gerda was there, and I. And I was actually we had a teen leader, and I was the teen leader in the church at that time. And we had a prayer room at the back of the church, and we were there Sunday evenings before the service. We had our youth meeting. And some Sunday evenings, the adults could not start with their service in the sanctuary because the fire fell back in the back room on the youth. And they came in and joined our service because that's where the fire was. That's where the fire was. And I remember the first time I prophesied was in that one of those meetings. And I didn't know, you know, we all study scripture and we know things and so on, but I cannot word for word quote long passages even today from memory. But I stood there and the fire was falling all around us. And I stood up and I prophesied just about the whole chapter out of Isaiah. It just came rolling out of me. How did it happen? The Holy Spirit. He does. He knows that passage. He wrote it. He knows it. And it was a confirmation and a sign that God was there. And it changed us. And it's something that you look back on and you say, my, were those good days. And why did the church ever fall into this death trap that robbed us of the good things and the joy that we have in Him? And got ourselves involved with the garbage of the world. And brought that garbage into Christian homes and took the power out of it. But we can have the Holy Spirit today. We can have Him today. We had annually this time of the year, we had Holy Ghost meetings. Not to tarry something, but to spend a week around Pentecost to celebrate Pentecost and to draw close to God and to just to receive another touch. And do we ever have glorious times when we were willing to do that, come to church every evening for a week? And He never disappointed us because we were busy, but not too busy for Him. We could set things aside and say, you know what, yeah, that's going to wait till next week, but I have an appointment with Him this week. And did He ever honor that? And came and touched us and empowered us and renewed us and cleansed us. That's His ministry. And that is what He wants to do. And He still wants to do it. And He wants to do it in your life. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Because if you didn't, you can. You can today. Now, let's all stand.